And the recorder is on. So tonight we are going to be looking at NTI Luke chapter 11, which on my Kindle is page 149. What do you paper people have? 149. Okay, Kathy, do you have a book? Oh, you do. Okay, good. All right. So beginning with verses 1 to 13. How shall you pray? Prayer is the unceasing act of thought. With every thought, you pray for everything or for nothing at all. How then shall you think? I have already asked you to think with me by accepting my thoughts and laying your own thoughts aside. My thoughts are these. They are thoughts of forgiveness, love, acceptance, gratitude, and rejoicing. Whenever you are not listening to my thoughts, you will know, because you will not be at peace and you will not be happy. This is not a time to chastise yourself, for chastisement is not among the thoughts that I give. If you are tempted to chastise yourself for forgetting me, you must again be listening to your own thoughts and praying for nothing. This is the time that you should ask for your daily bread. This is a time of forgiving your own thoughts by laying them aside and again opening your heart to me. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Your Father is the extension of love, and his love has been poured out upon you. It is his only gift. Anything that is not the gift of our Father is of nothing, and so it is meaningless and it has no value. Lay that aside and accept the gift given to you by our Father. So this is perfect. Did you guys talk about this in the car on the way here? Because Danielle and I did. Usually you guys say, oh, we talked about that on the, you know.
Actually,
Yeah, what we were talking about, what Danielle and I were talking about on the way here, was that it doesn't matter whether something is, quote, true or false in perception. That isn't the question. So, for example, let's say Lynn and I were talking, and I kind of thought that maybe I was a little rude to her. You know, afterwards I'm thinking, wow, you know, should I have really said that to Lynn? And so I go to someone else and I ask them, you know, do you think I was rude to Lynn? And that person says, yeah, actually, I thought that was a little rude. You know, well, then now I feel guilty because now I have confirmation that I was rude, right? And so now I'm thinking about how rude I was, how guilty I am, how I need to go apologize to Lynn, all these thoughts. But if you look back at what Holy Spirit said are his thoughts, and remember, Holy Spirit says, I'm asking you to think my thoughts. Notice Holy Spirit said, my thoughts are thoughts of forgiveness, love, acceptance, gratitude, and rejoicing. He didn't say anything about proving what's true or false in form, right? So what that means is, let's say I'm a little rude to Lynn, which I might be someday. She might catch me at a moment when, you know, I'm feeling busy and stressed, and she calls, and I say, Lynn, look, I'm just too damn busy right now. I probably wouldn't say that. But let's pretend like I would. I might say I'm too busy. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so I'm rude to Lynn. All right? Now, if I am actually rude to Lynn, I will probably see myself being rude to Lynn immediately afterwards. Okay? But then, if I'm going to follow Holy Spirit's advice, that means my next thought needs to be a thought of forgiveness, a thought of love, a thought of acceptance, a thought of gratitude, and a thought of rejoicing. So here's what this looks like. Okay, I was just a little rude to Lynn. I forgot myself for a moment. That's actually just a thought of forgiveness. I just forgot myself for a moment, you know? I want to return myself to my right mind right now. That's love. I accept what I just did without judgment. I accept that I just did that. I'm so grateful I saw it. I'm really happy to be back in my right mind. See, that's joining with the Holy Spirit. And this is where we have trouble, is because, again, we take the world and we take ourselves so seriously that we think that if we do something, well, we judge it as bad, but actually it's just a mistake. But we think if we do something bad, then, we deserve to think bad thoughts about ourselves. You know, because I did something bad, so it's okay for me to think I'm guilty. It's okay for me to think I'm horrible. I mean, it's natural, right? I'm a bad person. I should think bad thoughts about myself now. But when we do that, we are then joined with ego. And as this says, we're praying for nothing, which really means we're just praying for illusion, right? We're praying to experience an illusion of ourself and an illusion of the world. And remember, an illusion is nothing. You know, if you think of a mirage across the highway, a mirage across the highway is an illusion. Is that something? No, that's nothing. So whenever you're thinking with ego, you are praying for the experience of nothing as if it's something. You're praying for an illusion. You're basically saying, if I'm rude to Lynn, and then I don't go into these thoughts of Holy Spirit right away. Instead, I think, oh, God, that was really rude. And now she's going to think this and this of me. She's probably going to tell other people, and then they're going to think this and this. I've ruined my reputation, blah, 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 right? What I'm doing is I am creating a self-image of myself as a liar, as a fake, as a guilty person, and I'm saying that is who I am. And that's not who I am. So I'm creating a false illusion of myself, and I'm going to experience that. So what's really key about these paragraphs to me is that Holy Spirit is very specific in listing the types of thoughts that are His. And the types of thoughts that are His or its are forgiveness, love, acceptance, gratitude, and rejoicing. And there's no exception to that. It doesn't matter if you were just rude to someone. It doesn't matter if you were just not paying attention and you ran a red light and you hit a car, right? It doesn't matter. You still want to think Holy Spirit's thoughts always, okay? Always. And notice he says in this paragraph that starts with sentence 8 that if you notice that you forgot, you know, like most of us might if we ran a red light and hit a car, we might not immediately go into forgiveness. We might immediately go into what an idiot, I should have been paying attention, blah, blah, right? But at some point, hopefully we would all wake up to that. He says, as soon as you notice that you weren't thinking my thoughts, you don't chastise yourself. You don't say, I'll never get this. I can never do this. You know, I can't learn to think Holy Spirit's thoughts. Instead, you switch to Holy Spirit's thoughts right then. You say, ah, man, I forgot. You know, I was calling myself an idiot, that's just an error. I'm only making myself feel bad. I'm only making myself believe a false perception of myself. I feel a lot of guilt here now, right? Most of us would if we went into it for a while. I feel a lot of guilt here now, but I'm going to rest my mind. I'm going to accept the situation, accept how I feel. I'm going to trust the healing process. I'm going to let this pass and let myself return naturally to my right mind. You know, you just immediately go back into Holy Spirit as soon as you can. And that's what we're asked to do. And notice this paragraph that says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. Basically, what that says to me is try and you will receive help, right? But trying is different than just saying, you know, I can't. I'm not good enough. I'll never be able to do this. Trying is just putting your best effort forward, whatever that best effort is, no matter how weak you judge that best effort to be. You put that best effort forward, and then Holy Spirit comes to join you in that effort. And remember, even if your willingness is not perfect, the Course says, Holy Spirit's willingness or Jesus' willingness is perfect. So that willingness joins with your willingness, and that helps. So you put your best effort forward. What Peace Pilgrim used to say was, if you live up to the highest light you have, more light will be given. Right? And this is obviously an interpretation of the Lord's Prayer, if you guys did not recognize it. Yeah, if we were to look in the Bible, we would find the Lord's Prayer here. It's a teaching based on that. Let's look at verses 14 to 28. Your mind is split. Within you, there is great willingness to do all that I ask you to do. And within you, there is great resistance that guides you away from the practice I ask you to seek. Let us look at your resistance, that you may be aware of its ploys. Then you will be able to recognize it and to choose, not with your resistance, but with your willingness. Your resistance will distract you away from me. It will give you thoughts that seem to need to be thought, problems to think through and solve. It will give you things to do that must be done if you are to be seen as worthy by the outside world. It will throw confusion at you so that what once seemed clear when you heard my word becomes muddled and unclear, so you are unsure what to do. It will ask questions, and you will seem to need to know the answers in order to put your trust in me. And so you will go out in search of satisfactory answers when satisfactory answers cannot be found. It will offer you diversions that seem to bring great joy and pleasure into your life within the world. It will bring doubt into your mind so that you will have a desire to find out what is true without giving of your trust. Let's just stop there because there's so much in this paragraph. You know, going all the way back up to the beginning, he's describing several of the ways that our resistance acts up. One of which is it will give you thoughts that seem to need to be thought. You know, like, where am I going to move? How am I going to make money? Should I stay in this relationship or get out? Should I stay in this job or get out? All of these thoughts seem to need to be thought about. They seem like big life decisions. Kathy's shaking her head. You know, when Laurent and I were together, as you guys, most of you guys, Bob doesn't know anything about it, but I don't know if Roger does either, but most of you guys know that Laurent and I had what, in one level, you could say was a very difficult relationship. And so at one point, we'd probably been together about a year and a quarter then, we got together and we literally asked Holy Spirit, should we stay together or should we break up? And Holy Spirit told us we shouldn't even think about it. That was Holy Spirit's answer. You shouldn't even think about that. So that appears to be a big question, but it's really no question at all. What you should always be asking is, what am I to do now? How am I to see now? What am I to think now? How am I to respond now? And as you keep asking those questions about now, whatever is supposed to unfold will just naturally happen. And you can see how our question was kind of a future-oriented question. Shall we stay together or shall we not stay together? Well, and for, you know, just briefly, although Bob doesn't know anything about Laurent and I, let me just fast forward to the end of the story. Laurent and I did that. And one day, maybe about 6 or 8 months later, one day I got up and I was in my meditation period and I suddenly received guidance, it's time to let him go now. So you see, it did happen just in the moment, right? I mean, it just unfolded. And that's what Holy Spirit is saying, that you don't need to think about things. That's resistance telling you you need to think about things. What you need to do is stay in the moment. The things are going to happen. They're going to unfold, right? It's a trick. That's why he called these ploys.
But yeah. Either or. It's a constant. Either or.
Constant.
You're giving the Holy Spirit a choice. Now, should I... You can choose this for me or you can choose this for me.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, Kathy is saying that in that question we were giving Holy Spirit a choice. You can choose this for me or you can choose this for me. But this is it. That's it.
I was going to say also that it seems like there's the mind thinks it needs a buffer zone in between. You know, it's like before thought comes and before it takes place.
Yes.
It needs a buffer zone.
The mind needs a buffer zone before a thought comes and before it takes place. So the mind, are you saying, isn't happy with just the period of unknowing?
Yeah. It wants to contemplate something first before. Yeah. Like you're saying the guidance came to you in the moment.
In the moment.
The mind feels very uncomfortable with that.
The mind is very uncomfortable with that. And in fact, you know, one time when I was on a silent retreat, I came to see the mind as like a cell phone. You know how you have to plug your cell phone in to charge the battery? That's what thinking does. It charges the ego's battery. That's what it's really doing. That's why the thinking is important. Not because the thinking necessarily solves your problems. In fact, again, if you were really to be anal about it and chart, this is my problem, this is the thinking I did, and this is the solution that will show up, lots of times you'll find the solution had nothing to do with your thinking. The thinking wasn't really solving the problem. The thinking was charging the ego battery. That's its purpose, right? The solution just showed up one day. You know, somebody made a call and there was your answer, right? So thinking isn't really about solving problems, and that's why it's called a ploy. That's why it's called a trick. Okay? That's only the first one here. The second one, again, is they go together. It will give you thoughts that seem to need to be thought, problems to think through and solve. That happens. I love this one. It will give you things to do that must be done if you are to be seen as worthy by the outside world. That happened to me today, only I didn't fall for it. But you guys know the wind we had yesterday here in Pueblo? It was so strong that even though my windows are closed in my bathroom, it blew a ton of dust through my windows. So my bathroom corner, my bathroom counter, you won't believe how much dust is on my bathroom counter and how much dust and dirt is in my bathtub. It looks like I haven't cleaned the bathroom since I've lived there, right? Now today, Jane Marie and Tom were coming over, and I thought Jacqueline too, but I had people coming over, and you know, often people use my bathroom. And so the mind said, I know that you're busy, but you need to clean this, because what are people going to think of you? And actually, when I just paused, like, no, this isn't what I need to be doing right now. I had something else I needed to be doing. I need to be doing this. So I left it. But there was a time when I would have fallen for that, and instead of doing what I was really feeling prompted to do, out of a sense of I want to look worthy to Jane Marie and Jacqueline and Tom, I would have spent, you know, the 20 minutes or whatever cleaning the bathroom. And the funny thing is, I have maids and they're coming tomorrow. I mean, you know, like you can wait one more day. And I don't think you used my bathroom, did you, Jane Marie? She went in the other bathroom anyway. So, but I mean, that's what the mind does. The mind says, if you know, you need to clean your house to be worthy. You need to, you know, whatever. Well, what else do you guys have to do to be worthy? You know,
dress nice.
Dress nice. You have to dress a certain way to be worthy. You have
to be on time.
You have to be on time to be worthy.
And also, like you were talking about. With Lynn, not be rude.
And you have to not be rude to be worthy. Yes, if you're rude, you're unworthy. So the mind is giving you all of the time, if you pay attention, it's always saying you have to do this to be worthy, you have to do this to be worthy. And if you're falling for that, and if you're running around doing all of that, you're actually not checking for guidance and finding out what you really should be doing right now, right? And there's also a little stress level under there. There's a little, you know, at least maybe it's a big stress level. Maybe you feel it way on the surface, but if you don't, it's underneath the surface. There's this constant stress level that's running because you have to keep doing all of this crap all of the time to appear worthy, right? And none of that is true. So that's another trick of resistance.
I do stuff I think I should do just for duty's sake, you know, because I think I have to.
I do things I think I should do just for duty's sake. And underneath that, is there, if I don't do it, I'm not worthy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that I do that I want to be worthy with.
Well, there are definitely tasks that I, like you could say, it's not a personal preference. Like if I was totally listening again to the ego, which is where personal preferences come from, I would not do A, B, C, or D. Like today, I just knew I hadn't said anything about the Israel trip in a while. It was time to kind of advertise it again because we're leaving in a month. So I went ahead and did that, you know, which, you know, advertising stuff is not my cup of tea. You know, it's just not my thing. But I went ahead and did that. But that wasn't to appear worthy to anyone. That was just because I knew that if there's someone else out there that still wants to register and that they're sitting around not sure, they need to know you've only got a month, right? They need to know that. So it was just a task that needed to be done, and I knew it was time to do it, and so I did it. But I didn't do it to appear worthy to anyone. In fact, my ego would say I'd appear more worthy if I didn't do marketing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So actually, I went against my ego. My ego says, no, you market. People are going to think you're trying to, you know, make yourself look good or make money or whatever. Right. But it wasn't about that. It was about if there's somebody out there, they need to know 1 month left. The alarm is ticking, you know. So I do, in that way, I do things that need to be done. And you could call those shoulds, but they're not coming from a desire to make myself look a certain way. They're just things that need to be done, and it's time to do them. You know, like sometime in the next week, I'm going to have to go out in the backyard and pick up poop. You know, needs to be done.
You know, what I've been finding for myself with this is that the thinking about what I have to do and when I have to do it is really to fill up time and to make myself feel, have some thought about what I need to do. When I stop doing that, and I've really been not doing that.
Yeah.
And when I stop doing that, it's time to do my taxes.
Yeah, you know it's time.
I sit down and do my taxes.
Exactly.
Time to wash the dishes. I get up and wash the dishes.
Yes.
You know, it just comes to me. I'm not thinking, I have to do the taxes. Don't forget to do the taxes. I stopped thinking about that completely.
Yes.
And when it was time, it was time. I just did it, and it was simple, easy, and was done.
Yes.
Everything just moves so simply and easily when you're not planning. And all that planning leads you to being afraid and overthinking what it's going to be, and imagining all kinds of stories instead of just don't think about it, and just when it's time, you do it.
Well, you know, before I was even on the spiritual path, I was you know, a project manager, among other things. But, I mean, I managed several projects in a company I work for. And I remember I was feeling stressed because there appeared to be so many things to think about on the projects that needed to be done and how to get them done and all of that. And I was really stressed, and I said something to another project manager, and she said to me, I never forgot these words. She said to me, whenever you're feeling overwhelmed — I must have told her I was overwhelmed — she said, whenever you're feeling overwhelmed, it's because you're thinking about more than the one thing you should be thinking about right now. You know, if you're only thinking about the one thing you should be thinking about right now, you're never overwhelmed. And I never forgot that. I thought that was just the best advice in the world. So, you know, if you're working on a task right now, you may need to think a little bit about that task. Like today, I had to send a report to our Israel travel agent about how much everyone owes, so he can confirm that, and then I can ask people to make their final payments. But I had to think a little bit, because each person's circumstance is a little different. But if I had been thinking about that and thinking, and then I got to do this, and then I got to do that, and then I have a class tonight, then I would have felt overwhelmed. But if I'm just thinking about the task at hand, right, here's what I'm doing now, and then, you know, you're fine, you're at peace. So instead of thinking about everything that needs to be done in the next week or today or you know, in the next year, just stay in the moment. Stay with what you're doing. And like Lynn says, whatever you need to do, it will come up. Okay, now it's time to do this. And now it's time to do that. Right? Okay, so what else does he say here? He says, resistance will throw confusion at you. So what once seemed clear when you heard my word becomes muddled and unclear, so you are unsure what to do. I talked to a person today. This was one of her primary complaints. She said that, you know, when she sets down in the morning to read NTI, it's so clear, right? She gets it. She knows. But then as she goes on through her day, the confusion sets back in. She can't remember at all what she read this morning. She can't remember how to practice. The stress hits, and she can't even remember things like rest, accept, and trust. Those words just won't come to her. That's resistance. So what I told her, I said, well, here's what you can do then. I said, when you sit down in the morning and you're reading, when you read something that says, that's good for me, right? She gets an internal confirmation, that's good for me. So first of all, don't read anymore. That's your lesson for the day. Write that down and put it in your back pocket. And then when the confusion hits, pull it out and read it, you know? Because if that's what the confusion is doing, if that's how resistance is acting right now, that's just how resistance is acting right now. But there's still things that you can do. So that's one thing that resistance will do. Resistance will make you forget what was clear when you were listening to the teacher or reading the book or in meditation. And that's one reason I've always been thankful that my form of meditation was scribing, because as I was sitting there receiving clarity, I was also writing it down. So I could go back and read it later when I forgot that clarity that came, right? Because that's what happens. That's what resistance does. Let's see. It will ask questions. Resistance will ask questions, and you will seem to need to know the answers in order to put your trust in me. And so you will go out in search of satisfactory answers when satisfactory answers cannot be found. You know, some of these popular questions are, what is oneness? You know, what does oneness look like? What is truth? What is formlessness? How did this tiny mad idea happen anyway, right? These questions don't actually have answers. And so you're never going to find answers. That's the bottom line. There are some metaphysical questions that reasonable answers can be given to, but there are some metaphysical questions that simply do not have answers. And you can spend your whole life looking for answers and you never will. So it's a stalling technique. That's all it is. It's just a stalling technique. And at some point, I think we all learn just to put the questions aside and do it anyway, right? Because we figure that out. We're never going to get an answer to those questions. Let's see. It will offer you diversions that seem to bring great joy and pleasure into your life within the world. Now, this is not saying that you can't have fun, because I have lots of fun. Anybody who knows me knows that, right? I have maybe more fun than the average bear, okay? But the question here is this saying to you, this is more important than my spiritual practice? You know, I'm going to put my spiritual practice aside to take care of this. I'm going to put my spiritual practice aside to do this. That's resistance. When I'm having fun, my spiritual practice is there with me. You know, I don't forget my spiritual practice when I'm out hiking. In fact, actually, somehow it seems to tickle the devotion, you know. So this isn't saying don't have fun. This is just saying don't have other things that are higher priority than your spiritual practice. Like, you see, your spiritual practice is work, and this is fun, right? Don't do that. That's resistance. Let's see. And then it will bring doubt into your mind so that you will have a desire to find out what is true without giving of your trust. And that's very similar to the question thing. But, you know, I suffered from a lot of doubt even while writing NTI. I suffered from a lot of doubt that this was actually coming from a very powerful human imagination rather than being some kind of true inspiration. And what I had to do in order to keep writing NTI is just keep writing anyway. If I had gone out in search of, I mean, ideas occurred to me, like researching all the other scribes that had ever lived, and, you know, finding out how many of them actually woke up and, you know, how many of them were proven. I mean, these thoughts occurred to me. Fortunately, I never followed them, because you can imagine if I had done that, NTI never would have gotten written, right? I did write a letter to a friend of ours. He didn't answer. But I wrote a letter to Brent Haskell when I lived in North Carolina, telling him about this. I confessed it fully. I said, I am terribly afraid. I mean, I knew I wasn't consciously making it up. You know, I knew I wasn't trying to deceive anyone. But I was very afraid that that was going on at a level that was beyond consciousness. And he, remember, Brent Haskell had written two books and then quit when he had an assignment for a third book. And so I thought, my thought was, did he discover that we're just making this up? And I wrote and asked him. He never answered me. And so eventually I had to put the thought aside and just keep right on going. But I mean, those doubts, doubt is there to, again, make you quit. And that's what that's trying to do. It's trying to stall you. So you have to do what I did, just put your doubts aside and keep going anyway, right? So, sentence 13. What are you to do when tempted by your own resistance? Notice it for what it is. Do not let it disguise itself as something important. See it as resistance and call it by its name. Then give it to me, backed by the strength of your willingness. Together, we will redirect your attention to the path you have set out on. Blessed are those who hear my word and heed it in willingness and joy. So again, he's saying when you notice any of these tricks showing up in this particular paragraph, when you notice these tricks showing up, don't take your problems seriously. Don't take your doubt and fear seriously. Don't get too upset about your confusion, right, when you forget what was clear this morning. He's saying don't let that bother you. Just say, this is my resistance. That's what this is. And he told us at the beginning of this chapter, at the beginning of the section, your mind is split. You have great willingness and you have great resistance. He's not saying you're bad, right? He's just saying it's there. So when the resistance shows up, recognize it as resistance. Say, Spirit, I give this resistance to you, and start focusing on your willingness again. And it will pass. It always passes. You know, everything ebbs and tides, right? So let's see how we're doing on time here. And now let's see how far. Well, we'll go a little further. We have a little bit more time before we need to stop the recorder. So let's look at verses 29 to 32. Your resistance is nothing more than your desire to keep things the same, to keep things as you see them now. And you desire this because you desire safety. And you think there is safety in the security you have made, and yet you fear yourself and what you have made also. You are safe, but you are not secure, for security knows no illusions of fear. Let me lead you to both safety and security, which is known through the knowledge of your safety. Safety comes from the guarantee of who you are. This is one of the things that I always consider one of the great cosmic jokes. We can be really suffering, you know, with our mind, you know, just really suffering with our mind, and yet we want to hold on to it like crazy too. It just doesn't make sense, but it's the way it is. Because no matter how much we're suffering with our mind, we're comfortable with what is known. That's the bottom line. We're comfortable with what is known. So we would rather stay the same and suffer than truly practice this and change, because we don't know where that's going to take us. And so that's what he's saying, that the reason we want it to stay the same is because we want the safety and the security of what, of the known, of what we can count on. And he's saying you are safe because of what you are. You know, you can't help but be safe, but that's not security. Security has no fear in it. Security has no suffering in it. So he's really saying, wake up. You know, there is a better way. You know, that's how A Course in Miracles started coming, when Bill Thetford and Helen Schuckman asked for a better way. Right? There is a better way. But what you need to do is trust me, trust Holy Spirit, practice these things, let go of your old habits, and, you know, start moving forward. That's what you need to do. Verses 33 to 36. The knowledge of your safety takes away all images of fear. In knowing yourself, you can know no fear. This is the light that shines from within, to shine on everything you see, to shine away all imagined darkness, and to show you only peace, love, and joy. This light you shall share with all the world through your natural love of light. And then the end of the chapter. Resistance will sometimes seem to be the light. And so you must listen closely within your own mind, that you know where your instructions and desires come from. When he says resistance will sometimes seem to be the light, he's speaking about what I tend to call the spiritual ego. You know, so again, if I, you know, really thought NTI was the greatest book ever written, better than A Course in Miracles, better than the Upanishads, is that how you say it? Better than the Bible, you know, better than everything. And I, you know, and I was out there trying to get everyone to read it. You know, I'm the next Messiah. That's who I am, right? See, that's darkness appearing to be the light. That's the spiritual ego. And so he's really asking us to, or resistance seeming to be the light, because I'm trying to hold on to me. There's so much me in that, you know? There's so much me in me, the great teacher, right? Me, the wise one, you know, who has to teach you, not the wise one, right? So he's saying, you know, be very, very careful. Watch out for that spiritual ego, because that's a real trick. And the warnings come through again in Revelation as well, because the spiritual ego tends to be one of the last tricks. And the reason it's the last trick is because we're so aware that we want what you could call spirituality, or that we want awakening, we're not going to listen to that other stuff anymore. So the only way the ego can really get our attention is by acting like what we want. Right? It has to disguise itself as what we think we want. So it's something you really want to pay attention to and just watch for, and keep yourself very, very humble. I read in one of the translations of the, what's it called? The Tao Te Ching. How do you say that? Is that close enough? Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu, right? He talked about being like the river. He said, the river bows very, very low so all the water can flow to the ocean. Right? I love that image of humility. Be like the river, bow very, very low so all the water can flow to the ocean. And if you can just be as humble as you can, in that way, bow as low as you very can, well, then the spiritual ego won't have a chance, because you'll notice when it starts trying to get you to rise up again. Right? So it's a beautiful symbol. So resistance will sometimes seem to be the light, and so you must listen closely within your own mind that you know where your instructions and desires are come from. Resistance will sometimes be subtle, and so you must listen closely within your mind so that you know where your instructions and desires come from. A useful question to ask whenever you are prompted to fill your time with anything is, what is it for? When you ask, remember the purpose of time. It is for healing your mind. This is its only purpose. If you are using time for any other purpose, you are not using time at all. Ask, what is it for? And listen honestly for your reply. Any answer other than the healing of your own mind is but a delay in your purpose of your healing. Anything that is not a part of your purpose is a part of nothing. So if you ask, what is it for? And you find that you have given this time another purpose, then ask yourself, what do I want? When you answer this question with the answer of your heart, you find the means and willingness to change the purpose of the current time. And this change is but a correction brought about by your Holy Spirit, which knows your purpose and knows what time is for. So if I ask, you know, like with this group, if I ask, what is this for? And the answer that comes is to bring more attention to NTI, then I know I'm off target, right? That's I'm off target. Now, the fact that I'm off target, it's good to discover that, because then I can say, what do I want? You talked about this last time, right? What do I want? I want to heal my mind. And then instantly it's corrected. And it doesn't even mean that the group can't still happen, right? I just corrected my purpose. So sometimes what you were doing was doing will be let go, and sometimes what you were doing will just be given the new purpose. But it's a really good question to find out if you're starting to stray, if you ask, why am I doing this? What is this for? I want people to like me. Okay, well, is that really what I want? You know? So it's a great way to find out when resistance is subtly getting in there and it's not real obvious. It's just attracting your attention to another purpose. And that's the end of chapter 11. So what I'm going to do is stop the recording. And what we will do is go into a bit of contemplation. Again, what we talked about was resistance, all the different faces of resistance. And we also talked in the very beginning about thinking again with Holy Spirit, what those thoughts look like and what those thoughts don't look like.